never mean for your bad. But the Lord will turn it around for your good. For he is that kind of God this morning. We are thankful this morning, and I get sort of all twisted and sometimes forget myself. But let me apologize and say to Reverend Daisy Brown that we're glad to have you in our presence this morning. Also, Evangelist Yvette Ettery Partey. We're always happy to have Mother Partey in the house. And it's always a blessing to have saints of God in the midst. And we must always respect and recognize and acknowledge the people of God and know that God is a God that is just loving and has no respect of persons. And we're just thankful to the Lord our God for all of his many blessings. And every one of us in here this morning yet still stand in need of a blessing. Hallelujah, Jesus. We are thankful, and I'd like to say to you this morning, I'm thankful to our young people that have been attending our youth Bible study, and we invite you to send some more of our children on Wednesday night at the youth church building from 7 to 8. They are doing a wonderful job, and I thank God for their time and their energies. If you have your Bibles this morning, and we are trying to teach our young people to utilize the Word of God and how to work with the Word of God. And one of the important things is that we must know that how important God's word is to us this morning. If you brought your Bibles this morning, again, the gospel according to St. Matthew, verses 1 through 8 has already been read in your hearing. I will read verses 5 through 8 again. The Bible reads this morning, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid." Supporting scripture, St. Mark 28:5-29. "For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." On the basis of those verses this morning, we like to speak from a thought. All we need is a touch for reassurance. All we need is a touch for reassurance. It must have been the hand of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. I am truly a witness this morning. From last Sunday to this Sunday, somebody touched me. Hallelujah. I even took time to go to the doctor, and the doctor touched me, but that touch wasn't like that other touch. Hallelujah. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. They do what they do. And I thank God for what they do. But the real healing, the real power comes from God. And if you know this morning that God has touched you, touched your body, has did something in your life, you ought not to rob God of his glory. You ought not be too proud to tell God thank you. Because I'm here to guarantee you that you might be up today. He might have touched you yesterday. But if you live until tomorrow, you're going to need another touch. Anybody know that you need another touch? Hallelujah, Jesus. Charles, I'm reminded of that song that said, "Lord, you gave me the strength to make it through another day.
for the strength I had on yesterday is already gone. That's why this morning I'm glad that I can say along with David that this is the day that the Lord God has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm glad, truly happy to be back here in this place one more time. I don't care how healthy you are. Right now could be your last time. So it gives me joy this morning just to be able to come and to share the love of Jesus with my family and with our guests this morning. For it's been said by many that you can pick your friends, but you have no choice when it comes to family. So in respect of that, whether you like it or not, once you became a member of the Fowles Chapel Baptist Church, every person registered on the roster is part of my family. Many members, but yet one body in Christ. And it's my prayer that we will love one another, that we will pray for one another, that we will trust and know that if we stand together as brothers and sisters in Christ, there's nothing in this world that we cannot do. There are obstacles all around this. There are stumbling blocks that are going to get in your way. There are even going to be walls that are going to be between us sometimes. And sometimes doors are going to be closed in your face. But one thing about it is, don't get so discouraged that you give up. When that door closes, understand that God made more than one door. So you move from that door to the next door. And if you don't get what you want at that door, move to the next door. You see, God blesses persistence. God blesses those that have it in their mind that I don't care what it takes, I'm not going to give up. There are some people in here that are dealing with some issues and some situations, but they've already got it in their mind that I'm convinced that I'm not going to give up. I'm going to live while I'm living. I'm going to praise him while I can. I'm going to thank God on this day because I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Anybody in here agree with me? Anybody in here know that you got to give it while you can? Hallelujah. The Bible say work while it's day, for night coming when no man can work. And it's time for us to be to work. We must be about our Father's business. All the way from last Sunday to this Sunday, God has been blessing us. Prayers have been answered. Strongholds have been broken. Broken hearts have been mended. Hope has been restored. And maybe you are one that have prayed and asked God for some things, and God just has not moved just yet. But I'm here to tell you this morning that whatever your circumstance or status may be, that he will come on time. All you got to do is trust him. All you got to do is that know that he will be there on time. And what you got to understand is you can't be dismayed. You got to trust with your faith. You got to trust God as you walk through this life. When we think about trusting God, sometimes when we trust God, we understand that there are some things that we don't have answers to. But I'm glad to know that you don't have to have all the answers. And our forefathers, they didn't have all the answers. That's why someone sat down one day and penned the song, "We Will Understand It Better By and By," because there's some things right now you don't understand. Now, there's some things when you were younger you didn't understand, but as you got older, God began to open up your understanding. And there are some things now, even in being older, that you don't understand. But as you get older, there are some things that God is still going to reveal to you through his Spirit, and you will have an understanding, because the Word of God tells us that in all of our getting, get an understanding. If there's a situation in your life, understand why that situation is as it is. And if you don't understand, do a little digging, do a little praying, and ask God to give you that understanding. We have to understand that it is that by faith is the key to overcoming our fear and our anxieties. If you don't have real fear, you're going to, if we have faith in God, you're going to always be fearful as to what man is going to do to you. If you don't have faith in God, the slightest little thing that happened to you, you're going to give up hope and give up in despair and miss out on a lot of blessed days because you are wallowing around in self-pity and in depression. But when you trust in the power of God, when you walk by faith, it doesn't matter what the doctor say, what your neighbor say, what your cousin or your uncle or your grandpa say. You know that what God says is going to be the thing that's going to stand in the end. And I thank God because he knows exactly what we are going through. We got to trust God for whatever it is that we need, knowing that the Lord will make a way out of no way. When people don't know the Lord, they tend to panic. They think in more of a negative tone. When they don't know the Lord and they get bad news, they just sort of just crumble away and they just give up in despair. But have you ever noticed that those persons or people that you know that have been diagnosed with things that would sort of blow your mind, how they say, well, everything's going to be all right. I'm trusting in the Lord, and I went in with God, and I came out with God. I go see a lot of folk at the hospital and at their homes, and sometimes when they talk about going into surgery, they say, well, all I had to do, I started to pray to God before I went in, and I had him on my mind. And so when I went in, God was on my mind, and I didn't know for sure whether I'd come out or not. But when I came out, God was still on my mind because I know that the Lord will make a way out of no way. There's some folk in here that know that if you don't have faith in God, then your healing process is going to be slower because you don't have anything else to depend on. Now, the doctor can do his part, but you got to do your part. Now, when it comes to the physical doctor, you got to try to do the best what the doctor tells you to do. How many of us are hard-headed patients? Oh, come on, hard-headed patients. I hear some of you talking sometimes. But there are some things that happen in your life sometimes. There are some things that can happen to your body that will get your attention. And your hard head will turn around and you begin to listen and understand that I might better do what they say do. But now, those that have faith in God, they tend to be on, I wouldn't necessarily say easy street, but they have more of a peaceful mindset. Because one thing is that when you're in the hands of God, when you trust God with your life and with your soul, then you're actually at a point where if I live, I live. If I die, I die. Because dying in the Lord is all right. Now, none of us really want to just go ahead and die right now. We want to live as long as we can live, but that's not up to us. But if we will live so that when we die, we're not worried about where we're going to spend eternity, then dying wouldn't have that much to fear. We wouldn't have that much to fear about death. But we are fearful of death because we are not ready. You see, I thank God for when I think about Black History Month. I thank God for growing up in the Fowles Chapel Baptist Church. Where I found out that if when I came to church, there were some things that was going on that I liked in the old church. In the old church, there was this particular scripture found in the 121st Psalms that said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. But he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Hallelujah. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore. Now I didn't realize, you know, we're in a new day of church work, and in the new day of church work, we sort of get tired of saying the same thing over and over again. But you know what happens when you don't say the same thing sometimes? A lot of the young folk miss out on receiving the word of God and the blessings of God and the old saints, the song that the saints used to sing, because we said that so much that it became a part of us. We were able to stand up and declare that I will lift up my eyes unto the hill, because it became a part of us. And then when I think about, oh, how I love Jesus, a simple little song, but had so much power. That song means a lot to me even today. As a child, and I've seen the choirs come Sunday after Sunday, marching in on, oh, how I love Jesus. Why? Because he first loved me. God Almighty. Any of the old saints from the old school days know what I'm talking about? Those times when we went on the church bus every Saturday night to what we called the gospel train. We weren't worried about going to a party. We weren't worried about what was going on the block. We were getting ready to go to church on Saturday afternoon about 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon, ready to get on the church bus. And we didn't wait till we got to the church to sing. We sung all the way to the church. And we went to church and had a good time. We sung all the way back from the church. Some of us in the new day that's in a hurry, you don't know what you're missing. Because you got to learn how to tarry and wait on God. I want to remember those days when Deacon Simmons with his tall self would stand there and lean over to Deacon Lattimore. And they began to sing that the Jesus will fix it. And when they began to say it, and they said it in a way to where it'll jump from one breast to another breast. And you didn't wait for certain folk to sing a song. You want to get your little bit in, because Simmons couldn't sing my part. Lattimore couldn't sing my part. Every now and then I had to put a little part in myself. You got to learn how to put your part in. Anybody in here want to be blessed by God? You got to put something in. Hallelujah, Jesus. When we go back to the old school days, that's when we gave total reverence to God. When we came in God's house, we didn't come in here like we were coming to a fashion show. We didn't come in here like we were better than one another. We didn't come in here trying to figure out who talked about who last night. We just came in to lift up the name of Jesus. We didn't come in here pointing the finger and judging one another. We realized that all had sinned and called falling short of the glory of God. But when we came to God's house, we began to sing the songs of Zion. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate growing up at the time frame and the era that I grew up in, where we really respected the house of God, where the house of God was somewhere where you know that you can come and get some help, where you can come to the house of God. And I'm not saying that people have changed that much, because people lied, people backstabbed, and people did all kinds of things in the old day. People has not changed that much. But one thing about the old saints, they had a foundation that was built on the spiritualities of God. And they realized that church wasn't nothing to play with. They realized that when you come to God, you give him your all in all. Choir members don't have to be pumped up to sing. You ought to be ready to sing your part. When we face the reality, in real life, you are going to face distractions. Every day is not going to be a sunny day. Some days, nothing in your life seems to go right. You're going to have some good days, some bad days, some well days, and some sick days. But the Bible declared that in this life, ye shall have trials and tribulation. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. He has already overcome the world. But again, I wonder, do you believe and trust him to be there when you need him? Do you believe that God will do everything you need him to do? As we look at our text this morning, it teaches us that we got to have a purpose in life. We began to think about the purpose of having hope in God. First of all, when we look at the resurrection and the transfiguration of Jesus, there are some things that in your life that is going to have to be changed. But while you're waiting on the transformation to happen, you got to learn that whether you're on the Lord's side or not, you're going to have some good days and bad days. But one thing about being on the Lord's side is that when you go through your bad days, you're encouraged to know that this too is going to pass. You're encouraged to know that bad days don't last always. Whether they are man-made problems or natural problems, there are some things that are going to happen in your life that you don't have any control over. Then there are some things that are going to happen that you are totally responsible for where you are. So when you began to believe that I am where I am because of myself, then what do you do in that point? I learned that if you talk to God and ask God, that if I confess my faults to him, that God is a merciful and a forgiving God. But now we have to understand that in order to know God like that, we got to read the word of God. We got to understand the word of God, and we got to let it become a part of our lives. When we look at our text this morning, we're talking about the transfiguration of our Savior. The Bible said that after 6 days that Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother. And he sort of pulled them apart from the rest of the disciples. And he went up to the mountain. The Bible said he was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias talking with him, talking about Elijah. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou will, let us make here 3 tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now, while they're there on this mountain, and they're talking to the Lord our God, and they're talking to him, and while he yet spake, the Bible say a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. It says, hear ye him. So in other words, at this point, he is elevating Jesus up above Moses and Elijah. He is letting the disciples know that the Messiah is here now. He is letting them know that now it's time for me to prepare you, because I'm not here to stay. I came here for a particular purpose, and now that it's almost time for that to happen, I got to prepare you so that you will be ready. So now what he did, he took them up so that they could see this transfiguration. He knew before they went to the mountaintop what was going to happen. And as they got to the mountaintop, and if you will use your own spiritual imagination, we realized that Jesus was in the flesh like a man. Jesus walked up with Peter, James, and John like 4 men would walk up to the mountaintop. Now, these 4 men are at the mountaintop, and they're having a conversation. And in the midst of this conversation, a cloud overshadows them. Now, as this cloud overshadows them, the word of God tells us that a voice comes out of the cloud. And this is the voice of God. And the voice of God said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Think about it. All of a sudden, this man that looked like you, his whole disposition has changed. All of a sudden now, he is as bright as the sun. The clothes that he has on, the Bible say, are white as light. Think about this. This is something that you just don't see every day. But here you have Jesus, Moses, Elijah, Peter, James, and John. And as they are there, the Bible says when the voice comes out, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid. Would you be afraid? Wouldn't you have some concerns? Wouldn't you wonder what in the world is going on here? Here it is. I've been walking and talking with this man. Now this man has changed right before my very eyes. And not only has he changed, but now it's been confirmed who he is. For I hear this voice, and now think about it. The voice of God had to be a powerful voice. Oh, y'all think I got a loud mouth. And I could motion for Brother Bugs to take me up. And with my mouth and with modern technology, I could make most of y'all do like this. But now, that comes nowhere close to the magnitude of the voice of God coming out of the cloud. So now you see why these men are so afraid. A voice that comes out that is so loud that it's louder than the thunder. Have you ever realized when the thunder rolls so sometimes and it make your very house shake? How many of you get fearful? Come on, let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. Just a couple of weeks ago, and the wind was blowing so hard. Things on the outside was moving all around that wasn't tied down. Some of our old houses were creaking and cracking. How many of you got a little fearful? Now, may as well be honest, God saw you. But now it also ought to take you back to another old school note where our ancestors taught us that when God is doing his work, you get yourself somewhere, you sit down, you be quiet, you be still, be making no noise, cut everything off. Need to watch no television right now. The Lord is doing his work. Now we're in the new day. Guilty myself. Hard headed. Let the television play anyway. The wind can blow hard enough to blow the cable out. And we still messing with it. I can tell some of y'all doing the same stuff. So that lets us know that we have forgot some of the principles and some of the standards that we were taught as young people. Why? Because now you grown, that's your house, that's your television. So you say, if the lightning blow it out, I buy another one. Until it happened. And you realize that your bank account doesn't qualify you to just go out and buy a television this week. You see, there comes a time that we have to just be straightforward. We need to stop sugarcoating. We need to stop acting like things are not real. We need to understand that when God said that you need to do something, you need to do what God said do. We got to understand if we look here and if we listen, if we use our spiritual imagination, that there are some things that will happen that God can do that will make us fearful. But the Bible says when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and they were afraid. And Jesus came and he touched them. And he said unto them, arise and be not afraid. So what I come to tell you this morning is that all you need is a touch When you get a touch from God, it gives you the assurance that everything is going to be all right. When I think about how God blessed these men of God, and after his transfiguration, the Bible said that they came back down the mountain. Now, I'm inclined to believe that when they came back down the mountain, that he came back to his other look, the way that he looked before he went up to the mountaintop. But on his way down, he told the disciples, now, I don't want you to tell nobody. Because there's some things that happen every now and then that it's not time for everybody to know. So every now and then when God began to speak to you and tell you that he's going to make some things happen in your life, you better learn how not to tell everybody what God has told you. Because sometimes you can mess up your blessing because everybody don't have your good intent at heart. You can't tell everybody this morning what God has in store for you in your life. But you can steal away in your secret closet and talk to God in prayer. When you talk to God in prayer, God will make a way out of no way. And I just want to let somebody know this morning that if you've been going through in your life, all you need is a touch from the Lord. And if you get a touch from God, it will reassure you that everything is going to be all right. You can look at this situation like a father and a child. But when a child gets afraid and scared, and the child began to wonder, where is my daddy at? And the Lord God came down and touched that child and let the child know, I'm right here. You are in the safety of my arms. And as long as you're in my arms, everything is going to be all right. And I want to let somebody know this morning that God will touch you. All you have to do is trust the power of God. But there's a time in your life that you got to have faith in God for yourself. And you might have to want that touch for yourself. I'm reminded of a woman that had an issue of blood. And this woman's issue of blood had lasted for a long time. She had been to one doctor after another doctor and still found that she had not been healed. But she heard that Jesus was passing by. And as the Lord passed by, the Bible said that she reached out and touched the hem of his garment. When she touched the hem of his garment, the Bible said that Jesus said, somebody touch me. Who is it that touched me? For I can feel the power and the virtue that have gone up out of my body. I'm glad to know that there's somebody in the world that got faith enough in Lord our God that they can believe in the power of God and they can reach out with faith. Said, I'm going to touch the Lord my God, because everybody ought to touch God. And when you get a touch from the Lord your God, it will reassure you that things are going to work out in your favor. When you get a touch from God this morning, he'll pick you up from where you've been knocked down. When you get a touch from God this morning, when your body is wrapped in pain, he'll touch your feeble body and remind you that he healed all of your diseases. He went on Calvary's Hill, and by his stripes, you are healed this morning. If you're going through in your body this morning, I ask you to give it to the Lord our God. Don't hold on to it with yourself. Don't try to work it out all by yourself. But give it over to God right now and ask the Lord to touch your feeble body. And if you don't want God to touch your body, you ought to say, God, I'm going to reach out to you. Because if I get a touch from the Lord our God, I'm reassured that everything is going to be all right. If I get a touch from God this morning, he's going to continue to make a way out of no way. If I get a touch from God this morning, I can see my way out of this situation. If I get a touch from God this morning, I know that things are not going to stay like they are. This too is going to pass after a while. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There comes a time in your life that you got to trust God with all of your heart. And you got to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's your faith walk. Your faith walk is going to be your key to get into where God wants you to be this morning. Every one of us this morning need a touch, and that touch needs to come from the Lord. And if we get that touch from God, it reassures us that everything is going to be all right. I cannot say when your blessing is going to come, but if you are a believer and you got faith in God, all you got to do is trust him, wait on him, and he will come to your rescue. God is that kind of God this morning, that when you get afraid, whatever it is that you're fearful of, learn how to call on the name of Jesus. And if you call on the name of Jesus, he will hear your humble cries.